Now, Friday night, the first thing I want to say is on both Friday nights, they made sure that Don could not be there to hear in person or to defend anything or have any part of the meeting. They made sure of that. They made sure they called him when he was out of town trying to salvage another church and help it out, and then the other one they barred him by disfellowship and legally. Friday night I got up and I brought a lot of points. Now some of you, I fooled some of you, and some of you thought at first I was against him. When I first went into the meeting there, I was apprehended at my pew before I could sit down. They would not even let me put my things down, and they took me to the senior elders, one of them, and to Lanny Peterson, and told me that I was not to do anything in the meeting. But I, as a minister, have a right, and I've been there since Bernice Bateman, from almost the beginning, I have a right to ask questions. And so I got up, and I brought a lot of points, but what happened, if you paid very close attention, is immediately when I asked questions about why they were not keeping the word that they had promised the whole congregation the week before, they cut the power on the mic, and Mark Yorkers and a security man began to approach the pulpit.
Right.
That is why, see, I had a whole bunch of questions because I wanted people to think.
Right.
They are demanding that people question and consider, et cetera, about Don's difficulties. I feel like, and I must admit, I'm somewhat ashamed of the body and ashamed of the eldership in that none of them have the guts to stand up and question others about certain things. I only started to question them about what they had said. And they were going to pull me out. Now I want to show something about this. I was questioning them in front of the congregation with them there. After having three times refusing to get up and look at the congregation, whom I had show how many of them, the elders, had stumbled by their actions in disobedience. They just saw that. They refused to do that until I forced it. That shows a spirit, and it shows a dishonesty. It also shows an over-control. What Don was talking about that happened to Brian, if you notice, I'm just questioning them. I didn't get them all out of the room so I could accuse them. I didn't make one accusation the other night. I didn't get them out of the room so I could accuse them behind their back. I asked them questions about things that they promised the church, and they cut me off. Now, what you need to do, and I think you ought to spread this, share with people that Dan O'Brien was going to ask them questions, and they cut him off, refusing to answer those questions and refusing to allow Dan to ask other questions, which were pertinent to the decision that the congregation has to make. And I think you need to ask your friends then, especially those who may be born, to keep a good spirit, but ask them, try to get the people to think. Doesn't that show an over-control? Doesn't that show that they are not going to tolerate anyone who has even a question about their actions at all, because they showed a total intolerance? And that's because they wanted to absolutely control the meeting to throw more slander.
Right.
See, you can defend against things scripturally. Slander is difficult to defend against. And that's why the devil uses it so effectively. And so I think that you need to do that. Say, hey, he was honest in front of the congregation and them asking questions about things they stated and they refused to answer. And yet the congregation has a right to have those questions voiced and heard. Their contention is that the elders are to help keep the pastor from getting into difficulty. Well, the congregation also monitors what the elders are doing in a certain sense. And the elders have stumbled the congregation plenty as the vote went. Anyway, I love you all, and I thought that this might be helpful. In my opinion, it really showed a spirit, and it did show an intolerance. The next thing that I want to say, and you should spread this to your friends unless Don corrects it. Don Barnett is not the only person that Jack Hicks and Scott Hart, in my remembrance, in years past, have gone up into the pulpit when Frank Rice and different people have sent letters of slander of Charlotte and so forth, as you know. They themselves believed and have taught you and publicly stated to you that when you get those things in the mail, throw them away or send them to Jack Hicks. Now, that was their policy, and they have publicly stated it when they were being accused by a dissident. Now, they have turned around and gone against what they themselves have taught you to do and taught the rest of the church to do, and they are mailing out slanderous letters. Hey, please, please. And another thing, and so you need to point that out to people, that is hypocrisy. It's absolute hypocrisy. It is demanding what is against me You don't read it, so you as the people don't have anything put in your mind that about me. But boy, when I want to accuse somebody else, read it. And you need to point that out to your friends. Now, we don't want to divide the church, but the people have got to be thinking. They've got to think. I love you all. God bless you.
You see, it's fundamentally wrong if you disagree with your pastor to begin circulating letters of your view against his view and charging all kinds of things and accusing the person. But if you get accused that way, you have necessity in the right to defend yourself. And I would think of going to a church, disagreeing with the pastor, writing all the kind of letters, send all the members about it. I wouldn't think of that.
Right.
I would never do such a thing. What I'm doing is in necessity as a defense. Once you put it aside, you got to do it. But it really wasn't right to. See, they have a different viewpoint than mine. But we have a husband and wife, they have a different viewpoint. It's not right to write your viewpoint to everybody in the body.
Right.
You know, it's against the person that you are to. And also, that's the point.
As a defense, you're going to send. As a defense, you're going to send something to
them. I don't know. Now, we'll take about a 5 minute break. As soon as society, by those who don't know what to do, I don't know who to follow, one of them says, no talking please. One of them says, so you yourself, Pastor, said the safety and the multitude of counselors. So the elders are all united, so now what? Well, you see, there's a maximum that the young man knows the principles, the old man knows the exceptions.
I
can't imagine the Apostle Paul going to the Galatian elders after the leader of Joshua and saying, well, the Bible, the multitude of counselors, the Proverbs says, so I guess I better follow all you leaders. See, that isn't what the scripture means. It doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul, with a revelation and clear knowledge, that these are demons spirits and the eldership in Galatia, he's going to follow them and say there's more of them than him. This does not mean the majority is always right.
Right.
The majority usually has been wrong. What it means is that if you are going to embark on a decision, that if a number of the appointed elders or counselors all tell you the same thing, there's kind of a safety in following that. On a mathematical probability basis, they're more liable to be correct, you know, than you are if they all say the same thing. There's a certain safety. If you go to one counselor, it might not be totally safe to go against what you feel if he feels differently. But if you ask a number of them, it increases the odds that, because there's a harmony there. It's not saying whether it's a dissident movement, whether demons have gotten in, people that are under you, follow those under you when they, you know, it's not saying Moses should follow, you know, those under them because more of them believe. So many things have been used out of the context of what they really mean. The principle is always follow the pyramid government God sets up. You always follow the top of the pyramid. The second principle is you always follow the one that God installs.
Right.
See, the Bible says that Absalom turned the hearts of the elders of Israel.
Right.
Stole the hearts, yeah, thank you. He stole the hearts. He said things that convinced them that he should be king, but God installed David.
Yes.
And you know Absalom had lots of reasons. And he must have sounded pretty good, he wouldn't have done everybody else to follow him. But God didn't bless him.
Right.
And the same with Adonijah.
Right.
And the same with Korah.
Right.
And the same with Aaron and Miriam.
Right.
You see, they're always wanting to use these scriptures how that they have a right over me to correct me and so forth in these matters. But you see, as a brother in Christ, anybody has a right, if they come in a spirit of meekness, concerning themselves, that we also be tempted, to admonish a brother. A person doesn't have a right to go to an elder or a pastor who's over here and say, brother, I feel that as a brother in the Lord I should go. You know, I shouldn't tell you this. That doesn't mean that you control your life and tell you now and you know, what are you going to do? And also, the overseers oversee something or someone. What do they oversee? They oversee the department they're over, or they oversee the people they're over.
Right.
But nobody has ever taught that overseers oversee people they're not over,
but
they oversee those that they're under. You don't oversee those you're under. You oversee, you look down on and see those that are under you. You don't look down and oversee those that are above you. And then tell them, you know, you don't go to the president of a company and say, hey, we're putting you under restrictions. What are you talking about? I'm the president. Well, we just feel, president, that we were talking to Robert when the vice president here. We just feel like you drive too big a flashy car and it's not that good image. And so we're putting you under restrictions. So now I'm going to drive your Volkswagen here. You have that authority. Well, we don't want the safety of the company. We just need the safety of the company. We just not to drive your Lamborghini. And so therefore we're asking you, no, they have a right to go to him and say, say, Mr. President, we think that it might be a better public image if you drove this car instead of that car. They don't have a right to put him on restrictions and inquire because they don't have no power over him.
Right.
And there's no scripture that gives the Galatian elders power over the Apostle Paul when he's a pastor.
Okay.
And Paul wouldn't go over to the rules of that. And they're trying to calm the people into the reason that they now have legal scriptural power over me. One of the things in the letter they're complaining about is I refuse to follow scriptural principles. Well, I refuted each scripture they gave me in the meeting.
Right.
But they come around and use the same scripture all over again, and in other words, they are usurping my interpretation of scripture, and then they're coming to my body, it's under me, and they're telling them, they're undermining me by telling me that, you know, in effect, that I'm teaching wrong, although they don't state that part of it. And they give a contrary doctrine to what I believe. Well, they have always taught themselves that nobody has the right to give a contrary doctrine. You know, go build your own foundation. So they're teaching a contrary doctrine in the congregation, contrary to what I believe. And I've gone through each of these scriptures, and I don't believe what they teach, what they say they teach. In fact, sometimes they're on a totally different subject, and sometimes they're absolutely totally contrary to what they teach. Here's one of the uses, for example, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's not what they're doing. They're going against that. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So now what they're saying is that because we're subject one to another, I should be subject to them. But it says, the younger submit yourself to the elder, and all you submit to one another. Now by submitting to one another is a voluntary submission to heal and receive reproof. It doesn't mean everybody be controlled by anybody else who has something over you, you know. And it does say, give precedence to the younger to even, you know, submit themselves to the elders, which they totally ignore. I have given them counsel also about what they're doing, and they're not submitting themselves to me. And when I tell them what God is leading me, and what God is doing, and what they're doing, and what they're not submitting to me at all, they're totally rejecting it. Just because they have more numbers, they're using this to try to make a power play here. They see, they're not making a power play, but it is a power play because they're illegally gaining the power to have control, and what is that if it's not a power play?
Right.
Now, Mark couldn't see as much as the congregation. This is not a Laodicean spirit because the we're not the laity. As you know, we're not the laity, that is the congregation. So it can't be a, but he didn't see this thing and understand. They, those that are under me, are making a power play so that they might control the one over them. And then they might not be subject to the one over them, but go by what they think. And that is exactly what the spirit of Laodicea does. It's go by what they think, rather than submit to the one over them, that God has put. And my boss said do the same thing, see?
And they have one leader, too, that makes it really one voice rather than many.
Yeah, God never established 15 pastors. It's true that they are to feed the shepherds and feed the flock of God also, but they do it under the chief shepherd, not contrary to the chief shepherd. And there's nothing that would give them control of a person's life. They can't tell them what kind of pajamas they can wear, you know. I mean, you know, besides, you know, what I'm going to do in my individual life. I mean, if they get the idea that all we got to do is vote what you have to do, I mean, there's no end to this.
Right.
If it includes you five times, I can't destroy you. I'm sorry, that'd be just too many. They can do this. I also oversee all the elders and services, properly so, that is. And the bylaws state that I am in control of the church. And it states that you, and it also states that the senior elders shall have no control over some areas or the areas the pastor has special privilege for. I can find it real quickly. I'm sure this means. Pastoral rights and authority listed in these bylaws. And what that means, and what it says is, it's saying we have a corporation of a lot of businesses here and a church. And the pastor is over the church and has all rights of the services of the church. And the senior elders have no right, they can control the corporation by a three-quarters vote if I'm there. And even override me in a vote. They cannot amend the bylaws on my concurrence, but they can override me in a legal meeting, although any interpretation is subject to me. But they cannot control me in the area of the church, and that's what they've done.
That's right.
And they put me out of the church, they cannot even have any control, so they have no control in the area of the church at all. It particularly has that provision in it, and yet they've done that illegally. Now, the non-voting elders are without authority in the church government except for the departments under them. They have no authority for the corporation is concerned, not legally. Another principle is never join the rebellion party.
Right.
And the Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft.
Right.
And rebellion is any time that your heart is turned adamantly against those in authority over you and you will not obey them or do what they say, and your heart is, I will not and I don't have to. That's rebellion. And they were rebelling before they ever got the bylaws changed. So they were rebelling. Thank you. They were rebelling before they even got the bylaws changed. So they can't say, well, we changed the bylaws and so therefore it's not rebellion. How about all the rebellion before they take their legal chances? My next point is, because about the safety of the pastor in the church, a lot more churches have been ruined by church boards than by pastors. But here, there's been a lot of coming out of the church boards.
Amen.
You're a lot safer to trust the pastor that God's leading and that God removed us than you are to trust the board. This is Seattle alone. See, I attended two churches in Seattle for a long period of time, 8 years with Seattle Assembly and 8 years with Des Moines Assembly. And those are the only two I attended for a long period of time in Seattle. And in both churches, they're fathers. In the first church, the church is a good pastor, and a senior pastor, among other pastors, even specifically a senior pastor, and he had a good ministry director that he brought in, but just given him fits, and he could not work with her, and she was coming out. And the congregation, he went to dismissal, and there was a rise up to the board, and I said, no, you're not going to dismissal. And he said, well, if she goes, do I go? And the congregation voted, not to put her out. He had the right to put her out, they wouldn't let him, so he left. They lost a really good master over there. And the church board decided to drag against the pastor. Instead of saying, well, pastor, you're the pastor of the church, and if you don't feel it, you can work with it, you don't want to heal, that's your decision. And we'll go with it. No, we're going to outvote you, and we're all thinking. And the next church I went to, the board, one man on the board had embezzled money for 10 years. The church never had even treasury. He never had money to do anything until he was finally found out. The pastor wanted to buy him. They did buy him from the treasury. The pastor wanted to put him out of the church for doing it, and the board wouldn't let him out. And he remained on the eldership. And speaking elders, as they had it. And that board was a real father kind of board, believe me. And the pastor finally left the church because he couldn't work with that kind of board who was trying to run him and wouldn't be submitted to him. And there was another time we got a church that had been 50 people. And the board told him that they felt he was being too. With some people, it's a more favoritism than others, they thought. And they also thought maybe he was getting too old to be effective in some area. And so, anybody put him out. That took him from 350 down to 7, and then he folded. There's another church that told you about went from 350 down to 50. The second one. The stories are multiplied of church boards did not follow the leading of God.
Right.
Now, question, how did the beloved elders get these demons? Well, I don't mean this as mudslinging, it's not mudslinging, but the honesty and totally objective, Russ has had a severe problem with legalism over the years. And I had to go to him and say, Russ, you know, you go to, you know, that's the little thing you do, you go to a mammoth project of an over-perfection to get that. I mean, he's been legalizing a number of things I've asked him over the years, I've tried to help him, and he has been helped by it. But when I got a revelation, and I said it was a revelation, on how God views sin within us, he wrote me a long rebuttal, point by point, legalistic rebuttal. And I wrote him a legal rebuttal back. See, there was a legalism there already. Mark Gilkins had legalism for a long time. In fact, he almost followed Tom Albert, that barely got him back away from him. Jack Hicks, of course, that's why I told you that thing, and he's feeling like this mega thing, and so forth. Scott, he says, had many, many corrections in times past. He's been hurt, he's lost his control of the Christian school, he felt demeaned. In fact, he got a lot of trouble in the beginning because he felt like I didn't really appreciate. So the others were new. He felt like the fact that I didn't regard to us, I told myself, Scott, I said, confidence is earned. And I said, I can't help it because I feel like that I know a lot of things you guys don't know yet. You know, just knew you just had Lutheranism. You might feel like you really have on things, but I can see these things. And I said, I can't just, he felt like you should have more respect. I mean, you should have more confidence. That's sort of like this. I said, well, that's earned, and I do appreciate you, and I've chosen you, and I have a complaint of what you're doing the best you can, but the fact that, you know, he didn't want to be, and maybe preach down to him, he can't feel like we should be elevated more or something, and I just felt like that I saw them, I had saw them. There was a problem inside, though. I don't know all the reasons for all the actions, but I do see some. Oh, you're right, in the first room, just like I had some, because my blame. Larry's been independent for years. He never could count on. In fact, I paid him less than the other teachers purposely for several years because If he won't show up and meet the time, he won't do what we ask for, and I'm not going to give the same salary. And anybody, my son-in-law, my daughter was affected. I wouldn't give as much. He has been lately, but whenever he goes, he says, I'm going to tell you the new ways we can affect even you, the law, you know. And he's been a sort of a fixed part of the rebellion movement. So my wife was very strong and done good, and you know, and it just was. And I can make it the most of anyone. I believe that demons are fighting this expanding revelation, and they're really panicking. Because if they can get us out of legalism and out of confusing, hey, they don't give us literacy if we don't confusing. And if they can get us, and if they're going to condemn us, if we don't condemn ourselves and confuse everybody else and try to go by the law, if we can get out and become a man of the liberty of the spirit, and I'm not talking about freedom to sin. I'm talking about freedom for the grace of God, so that we can move in the spirit and not live under the yoke of bondage. Let them be moving. And facts have been twisted all the way through these letters, and I don't have time, you know, or heart to go through it all point by point by point. But I'll give you just one idea, as the kind of things that they're saying can show you how things are being twisted. And this is an area I've been called a liar to. I've called a liar in so many areas I haven't lied in, but this is how the confession goes. In Thursday morning, I said, you held me, and that was my lie, you just held me contrary to the president of the corporation and the pastors and the bylaws. And he said, well, we haven't done it illegally. Because you signed a letter saying that you would agree to these meetings and you would not use your pastoral authority to stop them. And I said, Jack, I did not sign for the meetings you're having. I said that Jerry Schwab made three different allegations in a letter. One that by him being laid off from the Bible college class, two him being laid off from the church, and three me having present sin. I was willing to meet before these elders because he insisted that he was going to smear me from the congregation. And I said, kind of blackmail. And I said, I was willing to meet on this issue. I wanted to have just the senior elders and just a couple of counselors, but he insisted that he was going to go to what he called Plan C, better quote, save the pastor. Because I felt like I might be able to save Jerry to show him that he did not have a point in any of these areas and he had no proof. And so I signed something that we all agreed, you know, to hold the weight of them. Well, after a while, they turned the scope of the meeting. And in fact, they did it at the very beginning. And I warned them. I said, now listen. I said, I know what this thing is going to do. If you can avoid these three issues and go back to the past, and he's going to bring all this stuff that's already been done. I said, so I want you to establish, like any court does, the court is not to say anything you want, they have to rule as irrelevant. So he's made three accusations. You need to rule that he has to answer these three questions. If he can show there's something current, then we may be able to do something further back. But if he can't show that, he should not be able to get the patent going into the blood. So I said, I would like to ask that you ask him if he has any proof of any for anything right now and get that proof. I was totally outvoted by every one of them. And he spent 9 hours giving accusations, details on and on. You know, there's a whole accusing thing. I didn't feel any of it was accurate as been done. None of it dealing with the 3 points in his letter. And then ending up saying, well, maybe he's not doing anything now. Well, the other 2 points that we wanted to let go. I said, now you see, it is exactly what I told you they would do. He also wanted to bring up something, you know, 14 years ago. And I said, listen, God, something my wife said. I said, listen, first, I said, God totally delivered me with that, and I swear before God that I haven't been the slightest temptation since that time. And I said, this is totally irrelevant. It's only going to hurt. I said, I can't emotionally handle this. it's going to be just a tremendous hurt to me, and they don't have a right to know what somebody did 14 years ago. And you people are not bearing your hearts about any sin you may have committed 14 years ago. I said, God forgive me for that in the past, and I don't want it brought up. And I said, unless you can show it, you know, unless there's some relevance and so forth, and they totally outvoted me. Well, I said, no, we're going to have everything brought out, and then we'll decide. That's what legalism does. And I said, you haven't done this with anybody else. And he happened to say, you have no right to talk. I'm the chairman of this meeting. I've been treated, you know, anyway. I was knocked right down, and I had to sit there. And I bawled. I was hurt. I was embarrassed. It was false information. I know I couldn't get it straightened along with it because, you know, there's no way I can prove, you know, except to say it's not true. I was totally, totally devastated and hurt in my heart. It hurt me, my relationship with Jerry and my wife. And up to that point, I held. And it was nothing but destructive. And I thought, these things were wicked. I said, this is wickedness. This is wickedness. And if you're going against the very plan of God, against, you're making Jesus Christ die in vain, and you're taking the faith that God, Christ has forgiven, and God's forgiven for Christ, and you're holding up saying, everybody should know and think of this man like he wasn't forgiven by Jesus Christ. Like Jesus Christ never came and died for a sin. That's what you call making Jesus dying in vain.
That's right.
Attacking the blood of Christ underfoot.
That's right.
As it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10.
Right.
And so I charged them with gross wickedness. I said, this is really wicked.
Right.
I said, none of you are ever subjecting yourself to this.
That's right.
And I felt that they twisted over. So that came to me, so you get to only meetings. And I said, and so now, I said, but you don't even invite me to these meetings. You're having meetings without me doing all these things. He said, and I only signed for the meetings between Jerry Swark and I on these 3 points. He said, have you read the contract? And I said, well, I read it when I signed it. He said, well, I just got through reading it. Have you read it lately? You know what it says? I said, Dad, don't play these legalistic games with me. I don't know what it says. I don't know about, I said, you people wrote on something. I said, but a contract is between two parties in your mind as well as on paper. And I was signing to meet with Jerry Swark and myself, both being there, let us not say both being there on these points. It doesn't say that. And I said, well, I have said that, Jerry, Jack. I didn't make now on any meetings on anything, any place, I hereby agree to. I said, that's not what I'm signing. And I said, I'm not signing against the bylaws, saying the bylaws can now be overturned, you can hold these meetings special. I said, I'm not saying any meetings. I said, well, those special meetings I was there. And he said, well, didn't say that. And I said, well, besides, he said, and you signed it. That is legalism.
Yep, right.
I said, Jack, I only signed a letter of intent anyway. This wasn't a legal contract. It's a line of intent. A line of intent saying, you know, presupposing things go this way, I will agree. But things haven't gone that way. And he said, then we're going to have to keep the bylaws. I said, Jack, come on. These are legal documents and they're appendages of the articles of incorporation filed by the state. You can't get out of how you're going to be governed because somebody else is serving you with going against meetings. Now, I haven't even invited to this meeting, so I haven't broken the meeting in the first place. I haven't refused to come. You haven't even invited me. You just turned the whole thing. And you see, this is not what I call honest logic or thinking. And all the way, that's because, well, you lied because you broke it. Because I said, how can I lie? I haven't been invited to a meeting. I haven't refused. Well, you passed all authority to stop the meeting, so you lied. I said, no, that's what I'm talking about. You got meetings now on a different purpose about me years ago. That's what I've been taking care of, and I'm following the counsel. I said, who else does anything? But if you repent it, and you're following the counsel, and you're doing what he says, and I have been, I said, what else do you demand? What else do you want? Blood? What else do you demand of? And I'm going to deliverance meeting, I'm praying, I'm continuing to go, what else do you want? What else can I do? Well, they want this control, of course, over me, but I said, my life is very difficult right now. That would be impossible. Because the way I made my vacation, I need somebody I get socially pulled with and got a love with. I can't go out on vacation all by myself with a bunch of men. I never went on vacation like that. And he said, I can't even go up with anything in a group. So I said, that's going to make my life impossible for me. I said, if you look, it's hard to get my wife back home. So he said, go with her, it'll be fine.
Right.
And so I just felt like a lot of hiding their own sins, harsh judgment, and that they need to look good, so they stay out the sin of the flesh of the leader only. Because they're insecure, the leader's got arrows. And the figure of idolatrous love idols falling, they're going to show it out, and they're insecure, with me looking down on them, and without faith, that God will forget and leave without a hedge about the law. Now, this is not an accusation, it's my interpretation, my guess as to what's going on. I can't say categorically that's true. But I'm surmising that some of these things, the type of things that is involved. See, legalism essentially is unbelief, because it is saying we don't believe that God can lead you unless we put you under the law and put a hedge about it. But that never solved the problem, we do. I'm almost done here. The letter also predicts at the end that I will lead this group as strong over control. I would say just the opposite. When I was at the church, I never insisted that only people were behind me come. Phil Adams, I had a hard time getting in. He said, are you for us or you against us? I mean, they want to know who led in the meeting. They're already determined if you're for us or against us. I even told people about these meetings. I said, listen, if somebody, I don't want reporters in here, but if somebody is on the other side, and they want to come, you see what I'm saying? I don't mind. Maybe we'll persuade them. I never said they couldn't come. I'm not that way. I don't feel like I'm a strong over controller. I think my heart is against that. I feel like that the spirit that they'll be training is the heart over control. I feel like I'm more a man of the liberty of the spirit. And I think the case is kind of like Peter said concerning Paul, that Paul said something that was kind of hard to understand. I think I'm saying some things that can hardly understand, because you legalism can't understand this liberty in the spirit. That was a difficult thing for Jews that came out of legalism, or out of, Judaism, and they're taking control of the spirit. Now, there's two more things we've got to talk about real quickly, and I'll take your questions. Concerning offerings, I better have $10,000 from my lawyer before 5 hours a week. And I don't know how much I've already spent, but it might be like $7,500 or something. I am forced to pay something on money because the church won't pay it. And I've hired lawyers to get my church back. And if we get it back Thursday, why the lawyer fee will be all set and stopped again. Well, there may be some follow backs that may have to be, but we'll minimize it. There could be other needs, renting the buildings. This one costs a couple hundred dollars, about 50 cents each. We may have to find another auditorium, or maybe we stay right here. If we don't get any fuller than this, we could stay here. If we start to grow, we have to do something else. Is it? Okay.
We're right up to the, we're done. We're right up to the maximum now.
We're over to that.
Yeah, okay. Do you know where we might go next? We're thinking about this.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is this. I'd like to get something proposed so that we don't have to call everybody again.
Yeah.
So that you can drive by some point, the telephone call across the church or something. And if there's a, you know, if there's one color paper on it, it means go back to the sanctuary. If there's another color, it means go to the church. Anybody driving by that we could be telling each other, you know, and so I might know Thursday night, and Friday people all wondering. And the night phone rings all day long, and everybody can't get to it, and so forth, telling each other. If we had some sign, some signal, we could put a couple of places, and somebody could be appointed to make sure that that sign is there that morning, and if it isn't, to repost it and stand by it. You know, if we know. But I think we need that, for one thing.
Don, 10 of us could have our answering machines announcing, we could just announce the numbers. 10 of us could have our answering machine on, saying where the message would be, post those numbers, and if there's a change, we'll just change our answering machine.
Okay, change the 10 can have the answering machine tell them what the meeting is. Drop you have some names.
Okay, just I'll circulate a list. And just put your name on the list.
Okay, thank you.
I think I run the initial problem of your initial communication again, as far as communicating what those 10 phone numbers are.
We'll announce them right here.
We'll announce the people's names if you put them on the phone book.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to. We might be in back in service again next week, but for the moment, not being sure, I'm going to appoint temporarily. We might change it. This is at my jurisdiction. I'm going to appoint a temporary steering committee that I can change or add to or whatever. And for the moment, I'm going to appoint Ron Lowry and Bill Adams and Dan O'Brien. And if you want to get any offerings, the offerings, unless you get back in the church, will be non-tax deductible. That means you won't be abusing the corporate income tax. I can do that legally as long as you understand you can't be corporate income tax. When you get to this interim period. Once we get, if we start in the church, we get a new corporation going back, and you will be able to put everything at that point on. The offerings will go for. I will not use, at this time, I won't use the offerings for my wages. If we go on, of course I'll have to do that. But if it'll come in, I'll let Ron Lowry, you can get the money to Ron, I'll let him keep tracking the money, you can work it out with somebody so you can keep your billings, the ledgers.
We have the use of the computer already.
Okay, they have the use of the computer, and you can bank it. Make the checks to make them to
I guess just to cash and then mark down just make the cash and then down the corner just put the offering.
Everything.
Offering to Pastor Don.
Just write it down. Make it up the cash, and then the corner go down the offering.
We trust you, Don.
What's your name? We could either write it to my name or your name. Something like that, and deposit. We formulate right now, whatever I'm comfortable with, so I guess the name would be legal if you formulate the name. Maybe after Ron. That wasn't maybe after somebody other than myself, there's no accusations, and they have no accusations. So make them out to say Ron Lowry.
Hands on Ron right now.
And Ron, we'll get out to him and Dan O'Brien come together or something, and register and Dan O'Brien signs. Along with Ron, each one of these, he signs the voucher, and so when he signs it, it will go toward what the steering committee feels is necessary for the meetings. Any cost that they feel like is necessary for this ministry, we'll leave it wide open. Let the steering committee say what's needed for the ministry here, and that's what we use it for.
Don,
if I get Yes.
I was going to say, have them put Ron Lowry / Dan O'Brien, and that way both of us can sign on.
Okay, have put Ron Lowry / Dan O'Brien on the check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, not you.
Pastor?
Yes.
Will that cause any problems as income to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it will, yeah. Yeah, we'll get
caught
by that.
Yes. If it shows up an income to them, all they have to do is file another tax form with expenses and then back out.
Right.
They can run it through as long as they expense it back out.
Is it a different expense to expense back out?
Yeah, I mean, all he has to do is once the corporation is set up, transfer all the money over to it, show the expense.
We'll have them go in. Okay, if this person's coming in. Hey, is it true about the Olympics?
What about
that? Tithe? Well, if this is your church, I'm used to your pastor. This is your church operating, this is you. We'll register it. It's a check with your name, and if we're back in Saturday again to the church on Friday, why, it'll be put in the register again, and you will be paid for it. I think that's legal. If it's not, I'll say that if for some reason we can't, for some legal reason, like we're not officially in the church right now, then maybe you won't get a tax deduction. But you're giving it not knowing that you will. And that's certainly that you won't. And if we can't make it, we will. You make the check to Ron Lowry / Dan O'Brien. During the day, well, if you stick these up, you can get them to either myself or Ron Lowry or Dan O'Brien. We can put them into it and hold them next time.
Question is,
you cancel the tithes that you paid last week. Some people want to do that. If it's legal, you can do that, and you feel that you should, and this is your church, do it.
Care to comment at all about the effect on Christian school? Bible college?
Well, we don't. We haven't really got that far yet. There may not be any impact. We'll be back next week. I'm hoping that's true.
Amen.
If we're not, we're going to have to address the issue as to what to do. If they allow you to show the go there, if you go here. Bible college, I guess, for the moment, I would say don't do anything different. Keep your children there, keep your children in college. We'd like to keep your children there if possible. We're not one a week. Try to keep me in. And if they say anything, well, which side do you want to go? We'll just say, well, hold steady for a week until the court makes a decision. Don't throw out a kid and maybe back in the next week.
Impartial,
listen to both sides and make her own judgment. And
that's what's been coming home.
That's right.
What do we do?
What do
you do?
Well, they're your children. and your children need to be told what you think they need to be told. And so I think that nobody should be taking the rights away from a parent to guide their children from the possession of their own mind. So these are what your conscience tells you. I don't think we should have to let your things go. We have taken people in who haven't done a community chapel with their colleagues. We took a black pastor from Zappa downtown. We took another pastor from some north place. We've taken some students who didn't even go there. When Masani was going, he was going to Tacoma Church. He was teaching in Tacoma. You should be able to continue to go there if the situation is there.
We need to have some security.
Okay. They want some security, whatever that means. There's a gap in here. Anything else? I would say, continue going to Bible college. For the most part, they're going to continue teaching theology, I would assume. And just go there. Don't make any fuss about it. They're going to have savings, contrary. Don't say a thing. You know how to think. Let me tell you what not to do. Let me warn you. This might be my opinion. This is not a mandate. But I think that you make a mistake because I think there are definite powerful spirits involved. And I think you make a mistake by going and saying, "Have God said, and He did," and listening, and then all praying in your mind. You've got to be so confused, flop back and forth. I know an individual that he was healed, and then he talked to them for 4 hours and stepped back. I talked to him, he stepped back. Then he went into the case and stepped back. And I came back to him again, and he came halfway back. I really feel like your decision as to who you follow is your safety, not who's telling the exact truth and what's happening. Doesn't have worship service. I don't feel you should attend any services though. As long as when the place would offer this week, I don't feel you should attend going to services though during the week. I'm not forbidding you to do it, and you can if you want to. But I think there's a mistake. People are going to become male people, people are going to become under, thing. I think you need to decide right now. You made a decision to came here.
Right.
And if that's your mind, I think you got to stay here and say, "That's not my church, to the pastor that church again."
Right.
I'm not your church.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't speak for everybody, but I know there's some other people in the same position that I did. I'm not necessarily saying that I'm 100% behind you by being here.
Uh-huh.
I'm not against you, but I want to know what's going on. This thing is a terrible source of toddling and confusion to the congregation.
Yes.
And we need to really know what's happening.
Sure.
And I love you very much, but I love the elders also.
Of course.
We want to see all of you brought back together in unity.
That's what we want.
That, I know that. So, but I don't think it's quite fair to assume that just because we're here, we're 100% behind and totally against that.
No, and I apologize if I said anything that is anything like that. I put you in a bad place. Well, he's going to have to speak for himself.
Right.
And I did say that. I told people that they were not closed, they still become the healers. I may be grieved inside of, my own soul, but I love you regardless, and if you don't see it like I see it, I've never been a time to force your mind. If you don't see it like I see it, well then you get it, but you can't be both God. And, you come here and I have convinced you, they've convinced you, and you think that's right, well then you'll be conscience there. I never asked them to go to this conscience. I'm just giving the argument that I might hear you should follow your master and not the book. And you have to make a decision.
God has
principle satellite
churches. If our pastors in satellite churches are not with you, should we be attending our services there? Or should we just kind of sit and not go to our own services and just keep attending services here?
Well, see, this is what I would say. First of all, keep remembering, this is not necessarily a church split yet. This is a temporary thing to the cult rules. And we are wanting God to put it all back together and praying and believing for us to that end. The second thing is, I'm not against doing the chapels or the satellite churches. It's just that I feel that the board has improperly put me out on legalistic grounds and false grounds and illegal grounds and put out somebody that God has called. I think that you should continue, in general, you should continue to go to your satellite churches and support them. I'm not saying leave community chapel, and now I'm not in community chapel. A person has a right to come to this church if we have a foot to split. You know, I don't know what I'm going to call it. Maybe chapel members or something else, but I'll look out there again. But if we get to a place where it gets so you can't abide it in your spirit, you might want to make a switch, move over here. But otherwise, I would encourage you to go. As long as your pastor is faithful and following all the, you commit yourself to him, and as long as you, if he's following community chapel and you believe in community chapel, well, continue to go to community chapel. I'm not trying to get you over the hill on that ground. I feel like God has a ministry for me. I feel like God is leading me, and I feel like that the people further ahead to follow me and the other follower, whoever else is excited over there. And on that basis, I'm continuing. If God shows me otherwise, I'll close down. I'll just quit. If God tells me to. And the only reason I'm continuing is not that I'm trying to do something against them, because I feel like that I represent the lawful government. And David, for a time, under Absalom, he had to flee Jerusalem.
Right.
Under the gates of Gaza, And the famous self met, and he didn't keep alive, but he got the kingdom back. So, okay. Let me finish this question too fast, as best I can. Oh, should you respond to the packets the people send you saying about it, their own policies, or just drop the matter? I think you should drop the matter. You are not going to convince them.
Right.
Arguments flying back and forth won't help any.
Right.
Just pray. If you're teaching Sunday school or you're teaching Christian school, something like that, I would say continue to do it for the time being, because we may be way back the next week. And even afterwards, if you they allow you to continue to teach Christian school, we'll do it. As far as other ministries, it may get to a place where you have to decide where your foot is, which church you're in, And I think that if you decide your ministry is healed, then we're going to get something for the kids healed, and you should put your talents healed. You have to decide which church you can in both churches. But you can teach a Christian school or college and go healed. And you can't attend classes there and go healed. That could be done. But as far as the church part of it, eventually you're going to be one or the other if we have a focus there, which I hope we will not be. I'm really believing God that we'll be back together.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look there on a staff job, as long as they allow you to, go ahead and work there. And if they try to bulldoze this week, say, well, I'd like you to wait 1 week to be making a decision, because Cody hasn't made a decision yet. It wouldn't be why you took me out, and why you go right back in again, And the last all the pastor didn't fire them last week. I could have fired them all last week, and I didn't. See, I didn't take an opportunity to jump back and I could get rid of them. And if I had, it wouldn't have been a problem, but I didn't feel to do so. And I don't regret it. I still feel God's in control. What to do if you're in a business, people want to discuss their position. I think you have to understand that you will not argue the matter with them. You just going to get in the flesh. If you want to, just hold it. I make a decision right now to just pray and not argue sides. I just want to pray. God, and there was a fasting in the meetings that, God said to pray. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it also said to the fact that God has called me to pastor there,
right?
The ordained me to pastor there too. And let them understand the false prophecy, they should consider that. But in the meantime, we should be praying.
With respect to people who are on an appointment to see the counselor from the counseling center, and they're looking for about to go ahead and continue their appointments.
If you're going out to the counseling center and deliver the prayer, I would suggest you wait a week and not go, because I think you're going to take advantage of it. And you're going to find yourself stuck under a pressure. Well, I wouldn't subject yourself or your children to pressures greater than you can bear, that you may have to face. That's my opinion. What's the availability of today's day? I don't care really how widely this is circulated. I don't care if they listen to prayer. I would like the whole church there. I'd like to have copies to send everybody in the whole church. We had the fun, you know. Maybe we need to persuade them. I want to see our heart and the answers we have, even though they may be by the way. I don't even care if the press gets it, really. What we're doing, I think, is honorable and depends on our ability. I don't know about our ability to. Next case, we should can't make very many at the moment, I would think. Maybe we do want some, so we can put the steering committee's hands, so people can, maybe the friends can get a chance to listen to it. Maybe they could be persuaded to join to some other people and back. Hey, that would be good. Make a person promise to get back to you. You may not, but make a promise to leave. Anybody here have the ability to take duplicate for us that will do so?
Awesome. If I fix my machine, I do.
How many? How much? What is that?
I'd like to talk to you after the meeting here, the possibility of using a high speed.
Okay, and how would you do that?
I've got two dubbing machines. I've got two
all time. Come and see Ron Lowry, and we'll, next time we meet, which is going to be next Friday night, either here or over there. And we meet, if we're going to meet here again, well, some location we give you. This location, we will we'll tell you. At that time, we'll have to pay for you. If we lose the case, we'll have to pay for you. Yes?
I have a question on the tape dubbing. I feel, particularly my wife, she's not able to
meet
you. I feel like it's really critical to this tape, so.
I do too.
Yeah, I'd be willing to work. If we can get the tapes by tomorrow evening to put money and so forth, to get some tapes produced by tomorrow evening and at a place where we could, you know, get them through. So I push hard for that.
Well, we have some money collected and do you have anything you can talk about right now, maybe about the tape thing? Come on up here and talk to him about maybe an answer before we quit here. Business school presentation?
I just want to make a clarification about the Christian school, so that for those of you who have children in the Christian school, you should know the position that I, as the principal of the secondary, took with the teachers, and that I didn't want our classrooms to become battlefields. I didn't want the teachers to take a position pro elders or pro pastor, because that's not our ministry.
Right.
And we did, and I informed the teachers specifically and gave them a directive not to do that, basically. And I think Mr. Teasley may have got the impression we told the children that their parents didn't have the right to influence them, and you most certainly do. However, I don't think the school or the classroom is the place to have battlefields. We have other ministries there. We have algebra, English, and all those other kinds of things. We don't want to turn children against children. You know, I just think as the pastor has said, this matter is not over. And so I don't think it's a place that we should be taking publicly a position, and I want to protect the children. As far as having your children in Christian school, there's only about 2 months left. If you feel, it would be, in my estimation, the fact that correctly, if you feel this way, I think it would be unwise for you to withdraw them and put them in another school, because you'll have all kinds of credential problems, transferring problems, and that. And then if you don't want them to go to Christian school, you merely do not have to re-register them. But as the pastor said, this matter might be resolved this weekend or in the near future, so it's not necessary for you to make a decision in regard to Christian school.
My advice is keep the kids in there as long as you can, year after year. It's best school you got to go to. God bless you. Please make sure that you keep a sweet. We're on our side. When everybody's sweet, Christ will make. Don't get in the flesh. Don't get in the flesh. You keep them kind of going inside of you, bite your tongue, and smile and walk away.
Any
questions?
John?
I'd
like to know if there are people here that would open their homes this week for prayer
meetings,
where people could go and pray.
People might want to open their homes this week for prayer meetings. People go and pray. You want to raise your hand? Come up here and write your names down. I'll put a table over and give them in the meeting, just read the names out and give them just put your name to. Also the time, thank you. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I choose. They'll be along with Archer, man. Anybody can kill you. I wouldn't go there for issues. That's my own opinion. I would not do that. Right. You're making a mistake. You guys want to do a mistake and what my influence might be and all this. But as well as, see, they'll get by. If you take duplicate, they can find somebody to replace you. They didn't make that okay. I wouldn't worry about that for myself.
Pastor?
Yes.
One last question. Is there still a need
for focal points for the answering machine to relay
any message? If so, is there a sign-up list? There's a list
circulating.
There's a
list circulating. Oh, we already have it. We have it up there.
Okay, we have it up there. If you want to come up and sign it, you can. Any last questions, Toby?
Yes. I think you need to announce the answering machine list so people can write their numbers.
Yes.
You want those numbers on the tape and everything?
Not on the tape.
Well,
what do you think?
Let it be an in-house process, on the tape. You don't want the newspapers to get it. We've got a problem with the fire code because if we're over 300 people, we can't move it. But we're about 400 down.
Let's make some big down.
We're going to have to meet them. Yeah, it's a meeting double shifts.
Yeah, we can't meet you again. We're about 400 people, and we're about 300, so we'll have to meet them ourselves. But we'll bring that machine to a heavy will. I think, instead of trying to read tonight, because we don't have any place right now getting a $900 place tonight, but $900 is too much money, really. But, you can be in a home tonight and pray, have cottage prayer. Get with your friends and pray tonight. You know, don't debate these things. Don't get into trying to, get out and, well, I know, but don't let yourself get into these gossip sessions that says, yeah, and folks, listen to me. Don't get into a gossip session. I had to bring some things out of necessity, I feel, for me, my hope. Don't try to start finding dirt about the elders and other people and passing them on.
Right.
Hey, we're going to get back and reconcile if we can.
Yeah.
Right. We love them.
Right.
And don't let us show how there was so much wrong. Just pray. Spend time when you're praying and thanking you edifying.
Right.
Anything else before we get close? Yes.
I
haven't yet.
I've got it if you want to. I've got it for you.
Okay, thank you. Also, I'd like to have one of all three of those services. The Friday before that, Sunday before that, and this one if we can get it.
Pastor, yeah. Of course, just regarding the tape duplicating, if we don't come up with something, would you approve of somebody who's on the duplicating ministry and going in there and running off 12 copies? I know that the machine can't do that. You know, they could run 12 copies.
No, we've got not use that for service to do it.
You have a high speed duplicator.
We've got a high speed duplicator we have, you know. Yes.
Pastor,
yes.
Is there any chance, since you do in the normal part, that we could rent the whole and hold meetings there because it would hold all of us?
That hall is still pretty expensive. We've used that over the years. It's still fairly expensive. And, we can check into that. We just haven't, with all this, we haven't had time to
work.
Bob Sack and I, we did a lot of checking yesterday, and we'll let you know. We'll find some
place. Problem with chairs. Local gyms don't have 500 chairs.
Robin Davies says he is. Robin Davies says that he is.
What happened to me is, as you read the bulletin a few weeks ago, I've been, on staff as Don's assistant, and I've been getting calls all week with people asking questions, and I don't have the answers, but then somebody will call me and tell me the answer. And so, like with the tape duplicating and where we can check them out or where next week's meeting is or something like that, if you get the answer and you've heard something, please call me right away and let me know so that when people call me, I can give them, the right information. It's in the phone book.
Can we include that in the event source information you have,
Robin?
Can you pass
that
on to the other people so
people follow up? Tom, I don't know whether your information is correct or not. I really hesitate to make something like this without really knowing for sure what you did, what information. I guess all I can say is, I don't think this is not a question in the first place. This is only a statement. I didn't ask a question. It just doesn't know what you think. And all I can say is, my position is, one, I still believe in the spiritual love uniting the members of Christ. I believe we need to be more careful than we ever have been to make sure that the Holy Spirit leads us and it doesn't become abused and we get out of balance with it. I think we need carefulness with it. I think we need to be open to let God unite us all. If you get a powerful spiritual love, we're not trying to say you arbitrarily say, well, I'm going to fight, but I feel the pull and just do something else. But just make sure your commitment isn't a commitment that God isn't asking you to make. It isn't some, I commit myself to you in some special way. If you already get an idolatrous love or commitment to something, you need to uncommit. And say, I commit to the whole body of Christ, and I'm open to the Holy Spirit. And if I'm feeling this, and I feel to do this, then go right ahead. But be open to everything else. And that's all we're asking at this time. I don't feel we should squelch spiritual union. And on the other hand, I don't think we... I don't know what the over there they're doing, but I'd be very surprised if Tom seems to think that they're trying to squelch it. But I don't think characteristic of their viewpoint. I would think it would be anything the opposite.
Yeah, they want to get
my yes.
In regards to these phone messages, they feel others can feel the confusion. There are some of us mothers that are home all day long. If people could, like if we have like maybe five machines that people could call us, leave their name and telephone number, then one person designated from you could call the one who has the phone recorder. Let us know where we're meeting and everything. We can take off our machines, the people's names and numbers, and write them down on the list. And as soon as we get the information of where we're meeting, we call those people back and give them the location. And that way, we won't be leaving the information of where we're meeting and what time open to anybody that would call our machine, therefore getting people that we don't really want coming to meetings knowing where it's going to be held.
Well, I think, let's think about that. I think the thought didn't come to the meeting. We know who all the people are. We just kind of rush it at the door. The outside is like, but,
yeah. I mean, it's actually, we call it an assessment, but just the way they're going to come in. Sure.
We call, this is public for the chapel people.
Right, yeah.
But they agree or not, they're welcome here. We want to accept. You know, we want a lot of disturbance in the meeting. And if it happens, it happens. But, as far as outsiders go, you know, we'll, these are open meetings. We'll definitely not to bring outsiders in. We just want to, you know, fill them full of curiosity people. But, otherwise, it's an open meeting. And we called the other day, everybody in the phone book we could, you know, so, we would be the outside to them. I really appreciate you being here. I may get home and eat, but I want to take my more time.
I have those.
If you haven't sent attendance to our class, it's uphill. My message for Sunday, whether it's going to be at community chapel or someplace else, is a message I've never preached before. It's called Between the Thieves. And from the scriptures showing what's happening between the feast of Passover and Pentecost, between the feast of Pentecost and Tabernacle, so there are a few more points about Tabernacle and the feast, so that will be one of my messages. And it's not going to be more of the same as this. We're going to get into some edifying and worshiping and just going in. That's what I'm.
I'm going to read them to you.
We want to meet Friday, and if we're not at the church, we'll meet Sunday morning as well. Friday night and Sunday morning, we have two services right now, and there is a location that we designate.
Machines, so we'll have information for you.
Don't everybody call the first two.
I suggest you don't comment. You don't have to call one of the answer machines. Yeah. Okay. With respect to the tapes, you asked about that. We have. We have access to a couple of high-speed duplicators. We'll take these tapes today. We have a brother that has just gotten almost like a package of 15 tapes and an order of maybe 100 of them, and we will be duplicating these, buying some if necessary. We'll make them available at the Stan Attucks home, which is close to the chapel. Stan's volunteered to do that. We'll have a box of them there. I don't know how soon. I'll try to have them there tonight. And you can, they'll be available through him, yes?
What I need is everybody who has been on the ushering team, I need to see these people so they can organize and run.
Those that have been on the ushering team that want to be ushers here, this brother needs to see you so you can organize. Raise your hand. Anybody help?
I've talked to most of them.
Okay, yeah. Now, as far as tonight goes, those who want to open your home for fellowship tonight, sing and pray and worship the Lord, you know, if you understand, people can see who you are, and if you open it for people who want to come to your house, if you just say, hey, you come to my house, like, anybody else? Can't get 50, though. Okay, raise your hand as well. There's one here, Stan, there's two more back there, beautiful name. Can you go by this? Okay, is this good enough for you to see whose hands are up? Or do you need names? Okay, he's going to state your name. He's going to give you a name.
Mark Brubaker.
Mark Brubaker. Stan Attic.
Sherry Smith.
Sherry Smith.
Bob
Zika. Bob Zika. Tony what?
Sanger.
Sanger, yes.
Chris Bitch.
Chris Bitch. Thank you.
Linda Red.
Yeah, this is it. Anybody else?
Mark Bryant.
Mark Bryant.
Peggy Pytel and Leon Pytel.
Okay.
Jeffrey
Lorenz. Okay. Saint Lorenz. Anybody else? Well, let's start with you.
What time?
7:30, how about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Halverson.
pray with her. She doesn't know the time yet. It's 824-2924. We give her a call. Linda Heil, Wednesday, Monday through Wednesday. Linda Heil, Monday through Wednesday, 7 to 9. Is it Peggy Petchel? Oh, Peggy. Okay. Every night, Monday through Thursday, 7. Okay. Anybody repeat? Okay. Wednesday and Saturday at 8:30 for Mark Brubaker. Wednesday and Saturday, Mark Brubaker. What time was it? 8:30. I'd like to have just
thank you.
feel.
That's right.
I really deeply appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring God to take care of this. Thank you very much. I love you deeply.